Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Two Sitkins are safe after a massive landslide destroyed the cabin they were camping in Sunday morning. An air taxi pilot rescued the pair from the debris field, estimated to be 20 feet deep. All of their belongings were buried in the slide. Their dog remains missing. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Kevin Knox and his girlfriend Maggie Gallen were staying at Redoubt Lake, a popular Forest Service recreation cabin about 15 miles southeast of Sitka. The cabin is located at the head of the valley and is surrounded by steep mountain slopes and rocky cliffs that climb 4,000 feet above the surface of the lake. Knox says the mountainside behind the cabin was showing signs of instability the previous evening.
There had been a lot of rock activity off of this one slide that was off back behind the cabin all night on Saturday night, and I was just kind of watching some of it. It was just small rocks kind of tumbling off and falling down and making a lot of racket.
The next morning, Knox and Gallen went out on the lake in the rowboat provided by the Forest Service to do a little fishing. The mountainside came down as they returned to shore at about 11 a.m.
We had just tied the boat up, and Maggie was in the cabin, and then it just let loose. Huge piece off of the side of the mountain back behind the cabin, and I yelled for Maggie to run, get out of the cabin, and we started running down the beach.
Redoubt Lake is a glacier-carved fjord. It's just a few feet above sea level. What passes for a beach there is just a narrow strip of pebbles. Knox and Gallen did not have much room to make their escape as old-growth timber, mud, and rock began to press down the valley.
We were running along the lakeshore and got thrown into the water, and trees kind of toppling on top of us, and we both popped up about 3 or 4 feet from each other, and, you know, assessed the situation, kind of got our wits about us enough and just tried to hunker down.
Knox and Gallen were soaked to the skin. The cabin and all their belongings were under a debris field Knox thinks is about 20 feet deep. They wrung out clothes and tried to shelter as best they could until their scheduled pickup 3 hours later. They also spent time calling for Luna, Knox's 10-year-old border collie.
She was in between Maggie and I as we were running down the beach. I think she thought it was a little bit of a game because I was yelling, run, go, go. And she jumped up and nipped at my sleeve. And so I know she was right there. And it's just, I kept laying in bed last night thinking, you know, how did we get through it? And she didn't.
The couple flew back to look for Luna on Monday morning, but there was no sign of her. Because of the instability of the slide area, the pilot chose not to land the float plane. The slide originated 600 feet up the mountainside and is about 200 yards wide. The lake's inlet stream, Knox says, is beginning to carve a new channel through the debris field. Knox is grateful to Harris Air and pilot Mark Hackett in particular for putting his plane down and looking for them on Sunday in marginal conditions. Knox says he signaled Hackett by waving his bright yellow raincoat. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A Coast Guard helicopter from Air Station Sitka searched the waters of Wrangell Narrows near Petersburg over the weekend after a report that a distress flare had been spotted in the area. Coast Guard spokesperson Sarah Francis says the call came in Saturday night.
Well, the Coast Guard received a report of a single red parachute flare in the vicinity of Wrangell Narrows Saturday night, and they launched an Air Station Sitka MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter and issued an urgent marine information broadcast requesting the assistance of mariners in the area. That helicopter proceeded to the Wrangell Narrows area and conducted a search. Weather in the area was clouds with fog, and there was some poor visibility preventing a good overflight and search pattern. So they remained overnight in Petersburg and conducted a first light search when visibility improved. We ran the urgent marine information broadcast throughout the night and didn't receive any further reports.
Francis says conditions were optimal for the search Sunday morning and the helicopter crew saw no signs of anyone in distress. Also, she says there were no reports of overdue vessels in the area, so the helicopter eventually returned to Sitka. Francis emphasizes that the Coast Guard takes flares and other signs of immediate distress very seriously.
We'd like to remind folks in the area that when they're out boating, as we're approaching that spring and summer boating season, to be sure that they're prepared, make sure your flares are not expired, that you have communication devices with you. More than one is preferable. A VHF marine band radio is the primary communications device for the maritime community. But having cell phones if you're close to shore and or a satellite phone or EPIRB are also good backups.
Francis says it's okay to fire off flares for training or testing purposes, but the Coast Guard should be informed about it ahead of time. Otherwise, it could result in emergency response and the unnecessary use of resources, like a helicopter, that might be needed elsewhere. The Sitka Assembly will consider the 2014 municipal budget on first reading when it meets in regular session tonight. The Assembly has spent the past few weeks in work sessions reviewing each of the city's enterprise funds, and just last Thursday, the Municipal General Fund. In the intervening two business days, the Finance Department has pared down the general fund deficit to about $125,000. The Assembly will begin to take final action tonight to try to bring the general fund into balance. Other work tonight includes creating a Health Needs and Human Services Commission, expanding permitted activities on public lands to include food sales from mobile, non-motorized vehicles, and adopting a new electrical rate structure. The new electric rate plan has been designed as an alternative to the 15% across-the-board hike passed earlier this year, which was set to go into effect July 1st. The new plan has price incentives for consumers who conserve power. The Assembly meets beginning at 6 p.m. Raven Radio will broadcast the meeting live at that time. Yakutat is gearing up for an influx of birders. They're coming to the northern southeast Alaska community to celebrate the return of a somewhat rare seabird. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
There's still a lot to learn about the Aleutian tern, but what Yakutat residents do know is that the seabirds return every spring.
We have one of the southernmost known and one of the largest known breeding colonies of Aleutian terns.
Susan Ohlers is a Forest Service biologist and one of the Yakutat Tern Festival's organizers.
So we decided we wanted to have a birding festival highlighting the Aleutian terns as well as the other natural and cultural resources here in Yakutat.
The Tern Festival began about 2 years ago. The idea was to bring more people to Yakutat between the spring steelhead season and the early summer salmon run. This year's event runs May 30th to June 2nd. It attracts bird watchers from around the state in the lower 48, but Oler says it's not all about birds.
It's a very family-friendly festival. It's for birders and non-birders, so we have field trips that's looking at birds, but also just all of the great scenery we have here, like the Hubbard Glacier and Russell Fjord and getting out into the bay. So looking at birds, but, you know, just also kind of sightseeing and hiking.
Bird banding and calling sessions are among the events planned for teenagers and younger kids. The festival has a focus on Alaska Native culture and will include performances by Yakutat's Mount St. Elias dancers. Tlingit carver Doug Chilton is the festival's featured artist. Authors and language experts Richard and Nora Marks-Downhauer are the keynote speakers. Festival field trips will take birders to the Aleutian Tern's breeding grounds, but they won't get too close.
They are sensitive to disturbance, so we keep a distance from where they're nesting, but, you know, you can still get a pretty close-up view of them and, you know, possibly even be able to see one on a nest.
The festival's trademark bird is one of three types of terns living in Alaska. The Aleutian tern also lives in eastern Siberia. Researchers are studying Yakutat's colony to learn more about population trends, nesting, and migration patterns. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A teacher in Ketchikan is being accused of helping students cheat. The Ketchikan Gateway Borough School Board addressed this heated issue in regular session last week. KRBD's Sean Carlson has the story.
Family members of a teacher at the Ketchikan Charter School appealed to the board to not fire her. Deborah Murley has been on administrative leave from the district and was not allowed to attend the meeting herself. But her brother, Doug Andrew, gave the board a warning during citizen comments.
When you go to fire my sister tomorrow, you better be ready for a dogfight.
Murley's mother also spoke at the meeting, drawing attention to her daughter's nearly two decades of service in the school district. She notes that the family might take the district to court over the controversy. The teacher is at the center of a school district investigation into her alleged attempts to help students cheat on state tests. After the alleged cheating incident, some parents reported that their children were called into the principal's office for one-on-one interviews about the testing. According to parents, their children were then told to not discuss the nature of the interviews with anyone. The topic came up at a school board meeting in April when Tom Volpe protested interviews his granddaughter had with the principal. He simultaneously defended Deborah Murley and chastised the school district.
This whole thing stinks. It's nothing short of a witch hunt in my eyes.
In an interview with KRBD after the meeting, Superintendent Robert Boyle said he could not comment on the specifics of an ongoing investigation, but said that Murley was not going to be fired immediately, contrary to what Doug Andrew had said.
Sure, I understand people being very concerned about the actions of the district in response to any allegations, but we are obligated to follow state regulations whenever allegations come about, and we try to handle those as well as we can, and we're very sensitive to the fact that it's critically important to people, and we want to make sure people have that opportunity to always be heard fairly and in completeness.
Boyle says the district is following procedure with the investigation, but he encourages a fair hearing, including through public comment. Boyle also says the investigation will be completed as soon as possible. Deborah Murley could not be reached for comment by deadline for this story. At the school board meeting Wednesday, her brother and mother noted that their attorneys had advised them against saying too much publicly. In Ketchikan, I'm Sean Carlson.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, expect showers, highs around 50, south wind 10 miles per hour. Tonight, showers likely with patchy fog late, lows around 44, southeast wind 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Wednesday, decreasing clouds with patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers in the morning with highs around 50, west wind 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly cloudy, patchy fog, highs around 51, south wind 5 miles per hour. You're listening to KCAW, Sitka.